podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favourite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your host. This is Helen from Glasgow, United Kingdom. I am the guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run Run Live podcast, come visit me at... Oh, hold on a second. I don't have a podcast or a website of my own where you can visit me. I don't blog or Twitter. I do have a profile on justfinished.com, so come say hello there. I'm the one with a photo of me sitting on the stairs because I don't really do cameras and physical activity, well, at least not combined. What do? Well, I like to go for a run as often as I can. So wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
Hey folks, this is Chris, and welcome to episode 61. This is the Goon Squad Runners episode. This is where I rode down to the New Bedford Half Marathon with these Goon Squad folks last weekend, and I interviewed them in the car, well, in the limo. It's a long story. You got to listen to it, though. It's kind of funny. I'm out on the West Coast, and I'm using my travel mic to record, so I apologize for any audio quality issues. Just turn up the volume and grit your teeth, you know? So anyhow, thanks to Helen and her lovely Scottishness for reading the intro for me. You can get in on the fun, too. It's easy. You know, here at Run Run Live, we offer a fully staffed guest announcer training program with professional voice coaches, paid relocation, and lucrative honorarium. So you really have no excuse not to do an intro for me. It's been a busy week. The Tuesday before the half marathon, last Tuesday, about a week, maybe 8 days ago, I ran that 35-mile ultra run to work and back. And I felt okay from that, and I don't think that's where I got injured. I think it was running on the ice in the woods Wednesday and Friday because I fell down a lot, a couple of times anyhow, and I was really struggling to stay upright. I think that's where I got hurt. But as we were driving down to New Bedford on Sunday morning, I had a bit of a sore spot on my right calf muscle on the shin side, and I didn't give it a second thought because I've never had a calf injury, and I've always got some achy bits when I'm running a bunch of miles, so I self-massaged it and forgot about it. Then I took up in the race, and I went out hard. I went out like I was shot out of a gun, and I was holding a strong pace during the first couple of miles with some nice uphill sections, some difficult course, and right around mile three, my calf started to really hurt, and it felt like a cramp. So I pulled over, and I stretched it, and I tried to massage it out a bit, and it was really, really sore. So I said, well, you know, I don't want to walk back to the finish line, so I'll jog a little bit and see how it feels, right? So I jumped back into slower pace. And since the course from that point on is a nice long downhill section, I was able to sort of flatten out my foot strike and not toe off so much. And the calf hurt, but it wasn't stopping me from running, so I just kept going. And the pain numbed out, so I was actually able to pick up the pace and finish okay and had a pretty good run. And now I know what you're thinking. Chris, you're an idiot. If it hurt, why did you keep running? Well, it didn't hurt that much. I just thought it was a cramp. And, you know, if I stopped running every time something hurt, I'd never run. So it wasn't until I went running in the Golden Gate Park out here in San Francisco with Newman on Tuesday that I finally realized that my calf was swollen and it wasn't going away. So the bottom line, Mr. Indestructible has probably torn something in his calf. And I'm going to give it the rest of the week off. I'm also on a vitamin I regimen right now, and I'm massaging analgesic gel into it a couple of times every chance I get in between business meetings out here. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not too worried because I don't have any high-stress races coming up. But Chris, you may say, don't you have a marathon next week and then Boston 2 weeks later? Yes, I do, but I'm not really racing those races, and I should be okay. We'll see. You know, I got the rest of my life to run. So pray for my calf, and on with the Goon Squad show.
Well, it's a beautiful day here in San Francisco. Driving south on the 101 to San Jose. and had a nice light this morning, had an empty seat next to me, so I got about 18 hours worth of work done in the 4 hours of battery life I had on my laptop. It's a beautiful day. I'm a little punch drunk now. Gonna go out running with Newman, or jogging as he says. Gonna go up to Golden Gate Park tonight and go jogging with Newman, a.k.a. Brad. And he's got a podcast as well. And what else was I thinking of? I don't know. I got a bunch of high-powered...
To the left. On US-101.5 miles.
You heard what the lady said. Keep to the left. I'm just going to have to do that. All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
And now for the equipment check.
All right, since we're on the topic of creams to rub on your muscles, weren't we? You may remember from high school that your coach would give you some heat stuff to rub on your muscles to warm up, and then you'd put it in the jock straps of the people he didn't like as a practical joke. Remember that? Well, the same thing applies to us old folks before races, and I will still rub down my legs with some sort of warm-up cream before a big race. You know, most of these have some sort of menthol or capsicum or some other active ingredient that actually causes your muscles to, like a slight inflammation. It brings the blood into the muscles and warms you up. And you can argue whether it works or not. I'm not going to argue with you. But athletes have been getting rubbed down with this type of thing for hundreds of years. And personally, the product that I use is called Flexol 451. And I've been using that for years before big races. Not all the time, not every day, just before big races to warm up my muscles. And I don't know, it's probably psychological, placebo like everything else. And again, I'm no doctor, and I don't even play one on TV. So make your own decisions, but, you know, try a little Flexol on your major leg muscles before your next race and see if it makes a difference. Just, you know, massage it in until the greasy bit's gone, the greasy stuff is gone. And the warning here is that if you have an injury that's already swollen or warm, you don't want to add this cream to it because that's going to cause further inflammation. Ice is better, or analgesic is better to bring the swelling down. The other thing is that you don't want to get this stuff in or near any mucous membranes. You'll regret it. So like eyes, lips, nose, armpits, or your nutty bits, they'll burn like crazy if you get this stuff on it. So be careful out there.
All right, so it's me and Newman.
Brad.
Brad. At the World War I Memorial. Hidden away in the woods here, we stumbled across this big, it's just like a big rock. It's not even not even an obelisk. It's like a big rock with all these names on it. And we're up at the Golden Gate Park.
They're all carved. The top it says, in memory of sons and daughters, April 6, 1917 to July 2nd, 1921.
It's got to be World War I, right?
Yeah.
Although World War I was over in 1918, so what's the extra 3 years for, I wonder? Maybe those are the people who died later.
Casualties later.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
A lot of names. I mean, there's a lot of names on this.
Probably 2,000, 3,000, which would make sense for San Francisco. A lot of Irish. Here now it's St. Patrick's Day. We've got a lot of Irish on here. McMullins, McNamara. I guess that would be Scottish.
McGuire.
O'Hara. McGuire. O'Hanlon. O'Connor.
O'Neill.
Yeah.
O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I have to say, he's kicking my butt.
Nah, we're just jogging. We're just jogging. All right.
And now for our featured interview.
This is Chris. I'm here with in the limo on loan from the funeral parlor, the Silver Bullet, with the Goon Squad Runners, which is a radical splinter group here. And with Dr. Death and the Mountain Goat. And what was your nickname?
Hill Checker Out.
Hill Checker Out, man? You gotta come up with a shorter one. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's too involved.
And I've interviewed, you know, McGilvery, Karnazes, Galloway, Yasso, but this is the one I've really been looking forward to. Dr. Death, tell us how this got started.
Well, it was last fall, the Hill Checker Out man, Godey, and the judge and myself, we all actually trained together last year for Bay State Marathon. And we were a little frustrated with the running club we were running with. So, yeah, everyone has a problem with getting injured, and like Goldie walked into a door and injured her knee. And
wait, have you ever run into a fire hydrant while checking out a cute girl? I ran into a roadside once looking at somebody.
And the judge, right before base, they ran into a pothole and sprained his ankle. And I think that, the Hill Checker Out man is just, he's just got problems. He just likes to hit people and stuff if they get in his way running.
His cross-training sport is hockey, so if he sees someone at a road race who jumps in front of him when he's going to the water stop, he'll drop his shoulder and just knock him out of the way like he's on the ice. So.
Cool. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
So anyhow, we were just running together. We were laughing about how crazy the four of us are. And, we just have a ball running together. So I suggest that we're like a bunch of goons, And then we just kind of evolved into the Goon Squad Runners. And it was just the four of us. And next thing we're on a track. And a lot of the runners are like, what the heck's the Goon Squad? So we ended up forming and said, let's just form a running club and be official and just have fun with it. And that's how it all kind of started.
I don't know. It sounds like there must have been some alcohol involved.
Yeah, well, the alcohol is that's part of the training. And everyone does get a goon name. You have to receive an official goon name.
A goon nickname.
Yeah, and it requires consumption of alcohol. The four of us have to get together and decide on that. So that's
has to be primed.
Yeah. So that's how, and it was funny, that's how it all did start, because we said, with the Goon Squad, we have to have goony names, and that's how we started this crazy Goon Squad name. But it's a lot of fun, and now we only take on two runners per month, and we want to keep it small, and we don't care how big it grows, but we want to keep it really dedicated to running of the sport. We don't care about the speed. We don't care how fast you are. It's just we care about your dedication to training, to the sport, and mostly you're having fun. And there's no club offices. There are no dues. The company that I manage is sponsoring the club, and we buy all the singles for our members.
Oh, free stuff?
Yeah, free stuff. Free limo rides to all the USATF races.
Now, if somebody dies in a race, do they get a discount?
We'll give them a little discount, but they have to come to us. There's no question about it. You have to prearrange a funeral with us. That's part of the thing. But it's all in fun. We have a lot of fun. And, but we're serious when we run, and everyone gives it the best. Our motto is no whining, just running.
No whining.
No whining. No whining is allowed.
Ms. Mountain Goat, why are you the Mountain Goat?
It must go back to the year when you and I, Chris, were Mountain Goats together running the whole USATF series.
Yeah, and the whole thing when you say running the Mountain Goat series, I think I probably ran about 15% of that. I ran the downhill portions, I think.
We powered our way up. I think that's where because I did pretty well in that series. I didn't know I was a mountain climber, but I did pretty well. Maybe also because, Chris, many people don't come to those races.
Yeah, and the crew that's there is really laid back.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, it fits.
And I think what secured my name was last year, Chris and I have been dating, and so he's always beating me every race. He's a good, talented runner. We went to Mount Washington, and he saw my little ponytail go by, and he caught me a little bit, but then I took off.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't believe how fast I was going up Mount Washington. So
kicked my ass.
Hey, we're here in the Big Dig. Look at this. You're $14 billion at work.
Be careful. Watch for panels.
Yeah. Put your helmet on.
I bet everybody wishes we had that $14 billion back to spend on something else right now. Thank you, Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that pretty serious runners here, but like you said, not necessarily taking home a lot of trophies.
Well, what's interesting is that it started with the four of us originally. We do pretty well. We win our age divisions occasionally. But then the interest, we couldn't believe how many other people wanted to become goons. You notice Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah.
He's Mr. Elite. He did his first marathon at, 2:45 without even training much.
Yep, and you got the silent assassin there who I've trained with.
Holly Madden's top. Linda Jennings is a national champion. She's new goon this week.
Yeah? She got a name yet?
We're working on it.
Yeah,
we,
right.
We might have it official today. We're not sure.
Yeah. But it's interesting to me. You know, I kind of fall in the same category, is people who don't necessarily win anything and there's no money in it or anything, but you're still out there 5 days a week in the freezing rain, you know, doing intervals on a track somewhere, you know, alone. So it's nice that people like that can come together and sort of share their misery.
But that's how the whole Goon Squad is. Like I said, the dedicated runners. They're outside. You run outside all year long. You know, track. That's what it's all about. It's, like I said, it's not about speed, but it's just the dedication and the toughness of the runners that is what the Goon Squad's about.
So, dude, talk to me. Mind if I put my head on your shoulder? You're looking very uncomfortable.
Around.
You got gender issues there?
No. I'm shy.
You're shy. Say something nice. Look at this. He's looking at my microphone like it's a deadly snake. You hurt your knee?
A few years ago, I had meniscus surgery for torn meniscus.
Was it because your meniscus was... I know some people have, like, weird-shaped meniscuses. Or you just overdid it?
Overtrained between running and hockey, I think it was.
Oh, hockey. Yeah, I got knees that make noise, too, from spending a few years on the ice.
But I
sucked worse at hockey than I do at running.
Yeah.
So...
But thank God I'm healthy again, and I can maintain a fitness level that I'm happy with. And it's just all about running with friends and having fun.
When they do that meniscus surgery, they take a piece from somewhere else and sew it in, or they just sort of cut off the rough parts?
Yeah, mine was a little bit of a tear or a flap, so they go in and they scrape that tear or flap off, and then they smooth it out. And 4 to 6 weeks off, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So I lost about 10% of my meniscus.
Oh, somebody's calling you.
That's the other goon. That's the fourth
goon.
The fourth goon.
The fourth founding member, Judge.
The judge.
Mr. Scott.
And he's fast.
He's an excellent runner. He has the most mental toughness in the group that I've ever.
Yeah, that's funny because, you know, some of us aren't spring chickens, but the mental toughness is becomes so much more important as you get older. I guess it's not really toughness; it's just the ability to sort of deal with. You know, I mean, because when you get to a point in the race and you start feeling, you know, you feel the pain, you can go, okay, I know what this is,
right.
And just sort of put your head down and go through it without it stressing you out.
Yeah.
You know, because. You know, marathons still hurt. Just because you've done 20 of them doesn't mean they stop hurting.
Yeah.
It just, you get to that point in the race and you go, okay, that's what this is. Here's what I'm going
to
do.
What I like to say is become comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Exactly. What I used to say is spend time in your discomfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Exactly.
So what kind of training are you guys doing right now?
Chris is getting ready for Boston. He's going to do, what we often do is another marathon is your last training run.
Yeah.
He's going down to New Jersey.
The Ocean City Marathon in New Jersey. I think it's Cape May.
No kid?
This month. Yeah.
Breaking news.
What's up?
Judge has sent a text with his approval of the goon in training goon name for our senior runner, Linda Jennings.
Uh-oh. We can give it. We can make it an official announcement. This is huge.
Wow. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Just like
breaking
CNN.
All right.
Without Wolf Blitzer.
Hey, Linda.
Do you want to make the announcement?
Get Linda's attention.
What?
Linda. We just have great news. We're confirming your official goon name has been confirmed and voted on.
You already got it?
We have decided. The judge just texted an email of approval. It is Sonic Boom. Because you just keep blasting through the time zone. Never mind, you're always falling and you're injuring yourself. So it's perfect.
She's like a Sonic test pilot. She'll push the engines right to the edge.
Yeah.
Yep, she will. The poor jet is shaking and it's gonna, you know, fall apart. She's gonna keep those engines going. She'll land that machine.
I pushed it a little too far.
Well, the stress fracture during the relay. Tell us. Yeah.
No city, Scott. She handed off the baton to me.
I'm sorry, not Scott, Chris. She handed the baton to me out of a cruiser.
Out of a cruiser?
Yeah, because she had a stress fracture and the cruiser had to come up and to the exchange zone.
What did you break? Yeah.
During the race.
Just another day.
Yeah.
And then in Bay State, she wiped out.
Yeah, had to go to the stitches.
Especially where?
Talk here.
Go ahead.
No, lady. It's running Bay State.
Yeah.
Pacing.
Yeah.
Run. I was doing it as a long run.
Yeah.
The week before, I had done the BAA half, and I had this great half marathon, and I was going to target for PF Philadelphia half.
Yeah.
And Kingsborough Bridge, where the metal plate.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
I went through.
The temporary bridge.
Yeah. Right. Well, I clipped my foot when it goes back up to asphalt.
Yeah.
And landed.
Did you hurt yourself?
Well, I landed with
your wrist. Oh, you get the snowboarder
wrist.
Injury.
Yes.
So I was told that, right?
So I not only fractured the bone, but moved it, had to have surgery, put in a metal plate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, you set off the alarm at the airport now?
No.
Yeah.
No. I was told the metal isn't that big, so I'm fine. And I still ran Philadelphia.
With a cast.
5 weeks left. No, because when you have surgery to put in a metal plate, you don't need a cast. Because the metal plate's holding the bone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was told it was up to me when I could run.
Yeah, you don't need your hands for anything.
Right. It was a risk decision.
Yeah, if you fell down again.
If I fell again, it would be a really bad thing. But I could run whenever I wanted.
Yep.
I waited like 2.5 weeks until it had healed enough and I could, it didn't ache.
Yeah.
And it ached when I walked. That was a bad thing. I figured I couldn't run.
Yeah, you made a game day decision. I do that a lot.
Yeah. And it was, I started running and going back.
You know what?
Still ran.
That's what I hate these days about all these races that make you sign up like 2 months ahead of time.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
How do I know what I'm going to feel like?
You get hit by a snowplow or something.
Yeah,
like a snowplow.
You get hit by a snowplow?
Well, see, that was part of it. I was already registered.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
You never know. You can get hit by a snowplow. You can fall.
Right.
Running.
I mean, how many people
or when you train for a marathon or a half marathon. I mean, there's a lot of training that gets involved in that. And there's a lot of times midway through the training, you don't know if you're going to make it. You know what I mean? It's like, am I gonna be in decent shape to make the marathon? A lot of times you're not.
Yeah.
So you have to pull out, and I think it stinks if they just take it off. But don't sign up.
Well, some of these races.
I used to drive down to Rhode Island.
Like this one.
I think I'm ready. I drive down first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Leave my house at 4:30, 5 o'clock, get down to Rhode Island, and say, oh, yeah, sign up. I go run it.
Opposite. I already have my hotel room, my flight, and my application for Chicago.
Well, yeah, I mean, Disney's already sold out.
I like that.
Wow.
But, I mean, races like the Hall's Half Marathon, why do I have to sign up 2 months ahead of time for the Hall's Half? Because they say, oh, there's a cap. And you know what? People sign up and then don't show up. So, there's a lot of extra.
That's right.
Extra.
And why does there have to be a cap? Because the town doesn't want
something like that.
That's what they're saying with the Boston Marathon, that Hopkinton gave them such a hard time that really they want to keep those numbers down.
Yeah, some of the towns are really starting to get a problem.
The economy, they're afraid of being shut down for that day.
They're just whining. They don't
want news coverage.
They don't understand what the Boston Marathon is, right? I got hit by a car once running.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not bad. There was a lady, there was a school bus, when people are pulling out, you always know to lock eyes with them and never run in front of them. I made an exception because it was a school bus stop with the flashers on, and I said, this lady's not going to pull out. So I went in front of her, and she started pulling out, so I was up on the hood with my ugly mug right in the grill.
Yeah.
Scared the heck out of that lady. My big hairy face looking in the windshield there. But... yeah, it's been tough running this winter, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I ran to work on Tuesday, and I spent a lot of time in the snowbank, because, and people were swearing at me.
Yeah.
I was running down 225, and there was no sidewalks, and there was no shoulder because of the snow.
Yeah. I used to do that stuff, and then once I got hit by the snowplow.
Were you running into traffic?
I was in a parking lot with a friend, and we just, locked our doors, and we were walking across the parking lot, and they came in and
just didn't expect to see
you. So the funny thing was, the story to everyone was like, oh, Andy got hit by a snowplow while she was running. And then, you get your lawyer there, and you're reading the reports, and because my friend, who was the main witness,
when the police got there, she goes, yeah, we were running, and everyone's like, you were running through a parking lot? Like, you deserve it, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing, once that happened to me, I became very aware of the fact that, I mean, here I was just standing there, you know, pretty much not even moving, and I got hit, and how unaware people are when they're driving.
Yeah.
And up to that point, I always felt like I was invincible.
Right.
You know, like, you're running, you're on your feet, you're in control, and I used to think, I'd go out and run in the dark all the time.
Yeah.
And I'd put my little vest on, and I used to think, as long as I have that vest on, I'm safe, and then you really realize, like, you're not.
Yeah.
It was really, I had a tough time with it. I really started, when I started running again, I didn't run outside, I ran on the treadmill, and I'm like, is there a defibrillator? Because I got hit in the chest, too.
Yeah.
I have to go to the defibrillator, and then and my friend always had to be on the treadmill next to me. She was with me when I got hit. It's like, she stuck with me for like 6 months when I first started running. I'm like, you can't leave my friend. We had cell phones when we ran, because I just kept thinking, if you get hit that hard, there's got to be repercussions. Like, my heart's just going to stop one of these days. So I always had her have the cell phone. And I started freaking people out because I couldn't cross the street. I'd go to step off the curb, and I'd be so indecisive, and even now, I think I ran, with Chris last week, whatever. I can't just go across the street. I have to, like,
stop and look.
Cars and before, yeah. You can't be like, oh, I can get that car. And now, people are like, okay, any day now? Like, can we cross?
That's crazy. So, all right, let's go once around here, dude. Give us your code name.
Dr. Depp, what are you going to do today?
Running?
Yeah.
Hoping to run 135, 134.
Oh, yeah?
That's good pace.
For an old guy.
For an old guy, that's what they always say.
51.
I got the, I went and got my physical a couple weeks ago, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and, they take the blood, but then they send you the form afterwards, and it's a form letter, and it said, well, you should consider more aerobic exercise. Okay. I don't know if you really want to do that. All right, Hill. Goat.
Mountain goat. What am I going to do today? I'd like to hit 140. We'll see.
140? Now we're on about that pace.
Really? Will you? Can I draft? Will you stand?
Oh, yeah. Me? Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind drafting at all as long as we take turns.
Okay. That's fair. That's
right.
Fair.
And you, what are you going to run today? What's your name?
Hill Check.
Run
the best I can. Put in a good effort. Hopefully it's around 136, 137.
That was a good pace.
Yeah.
I'll be right in there with you guys. All right. What are you guys doing today? What's your code name?
Little Professor.
Little Professor. What are you running today?
What am I running?
Yeah.
Nice, relaxing half marathon. I don't know. I'm just going to... Somebody in here is going to have me as company. I don't know who yet, but...
So something in the 135, 140 range. So what are you going to run? Like a 7-minute mile? A 7-minute mile is a
no,
one.
No, I'm definitely not shaping
one.
That. No. No, I'm at 135 maybe.
You?
No time goal.
No time goal? Is this a tempo run for you?
No, I just am going out without a plan. This is how I feel, that's how I run.
And what's your code name?
Cougar.
She's always hitting me with the instant messaging while I'm at work.
No, he's like, I gotta go to work.
Yeah, like, I'll be working, it'll pop up. I had one this morning. It was really funny because I just rolled out of bed and my computer was on, so I looked at it, right? And I got one of those, I thought it was you. And it came in, it goes, the message was, it was spam, right? But the message was, you may not believe this, but I know your future. It was like,
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, so. Your code name now is?
Oh, I'm Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom? And you're going to win your age class today?
No, I can't.
No? What are you going to run?
Depends. I don't know. I'm starting out with Dan, looking for like 720. Yeah.
720? 715? Man, that's fast.
If I can.
You sure?
I'd like to go faster.
You sure you're not going
to
win your age group?
She usually does.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It depends how I feel. A lot of it depends how I feel. See how I go. And if it's going well, then I'll push it.
See, I'm screwed because I'm a 40-something guy. And
yes.
Right in the fat part of the bell curve.
Yeah.
You know, I ran sub-630s at this Thanksgiving 5K and came in like 12th in my age class.
Yeah.
Like 100th overall. There were 300 people in this race.
You just have to wait till they all die. Probably
I know.
70.
Yeah.
I got to move to Kansas or something.
Okay, can we mention the other booth
sure.
That will be there?
No.
Okay, Silent Assassin.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Triage will be there. Smoke and Ivy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she is.
She's
a master.
Yeah.
She's Smokey 90.
The judge?
No, the judge won't be there. I don't think. I don't know. No, no judge. The enforcer. I don't know about fingers, but the enforcer will be there. I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, so watch for the goons.
Watch for the goons to show up at the...
Oh, Cosmo. Fast. Freaking fast, too.
Yeah.
Jason's favorite.
So watch for the goons to show up in their silver limousine.
That's right, the silver bullet.
The silver bullet, on loan from the funeral home.
And you might want to mention my jewelry that I'm sporting today.
The skull and crossbones. Bejeweled skull and crossbones. You going to wear that while you're racing?
No, I don't think
so. It'll be whacking you in the head.
Hill Checker Out also brought an official flag to be displayed while we're running.
It's sort of a pirate motif here. It is. It's a pirate. It looks like the Buccaneers. Yeah?
Sponsored by
it's good.
Death House.
The Death House.
And we'll thanks to our sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you to our sponsors.
How do you say it properly, though?
Yeah, what's the proper pronunciation of sponsors?
It's Catadella Funeral Home in Methuen, Mass.
Methuen?
Methuen. You know,
Methuen?
Methuen, where we all live, the Italians.
All right,
it's
thanks.
A very good to our club. Now, before you hang up,
all right,
we have another huge announcement.
What?
Huge goon announcement. The judge has just emailed us. We're under secret agent. We're under secret conference during this interview. And the founders have decided to make you,
Chris Russell,
an official member of the Goon Squad.
An honorary or official?
No, official.
Emeritus?
Yes.
He doesn't go by that.
No, he's old. Sorry. Not American. You're dead.
Methuselah?
So you are now.
But I don't have a code name?
No, you're a goon in training.
I don't want a code name like Fuzzy Fairy or something like that.
It's
got to be something cool like, Rancid Rat or,
Yeah, by the time we get done, we'll decide after this trip.
Something that conjures up old, hairy, and sort of slow.
Maybe smelly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll figure that out. But you are, you can run as a goon today.
Oh.
If you decide to.
Oh.
You will have an official goon singlet. We'll be audited within the next couple months.
I am large, yeah. Most of the time I'm struggling against extra large.
Yeah.
I got this sort of eating habit I got a problem with. Common to most hardcore long distance runners.
So yeah, this is the second member of the month. So the month is closed until next month.
That's a long month too.
Congratulations.
Happy
to have you on board.
Great. Hey,
Goon Emeritus.
That made me think about what was everybody's training meal last night? I personally ate a whole chicken from Boston Market and four slices of pepperoni pizza.
Oh my God.
What did you guys eat?
I went up and cooked supper for the mountain goat, so we had chicken with lemon and wine and rice, and then a couple of beers and some pepperoni pizza, a couple more beers later on.
And then a couple more beers.
Some chips and, all the good stuff.
Doritos.
Yeah.
Well, I got good news for you. I quit drinking beer about 7 years ago, and it made zero impact on my weight. So this stuff people always tell you, quit drinking and you lose weight, not true. So what did you guys eat for dinner last night? Are you good or are you bad?
Here's today's quick tips.
Newman. Okay, folks. Let's talk about your taper. I know it's that time of year. Everybody's getting ready for races. The important point about tapers is don't stress out about it. Your taper is not an exact science. If you've done your training well, you really have to screw up pretty horribly during your taper to have it make a big difference. And conversely, if you haven't trained well, all the taper in the world isn't going to make a difference. So don't stress out about it. But, I've done one-week tapers. I've done two-month tapers. And it really, it doesn't have that big an impact. The hardest thing, we're not Olympic athletes, so you're really talking about that final 2%. The hardest thing is not running, especially when you're so close to your event. So just try to err on the easy side. Run less if you have a choice. You're not going to gain any additional conditioning in the last 2 weeks, so don't try to cram for the test, so to speak. But if you've been running 50-mile weeks, then a 25 or a 30-mile week isn't going to hurt you in your taper. So here's what I do in my taper. I'll do my last long run typically 3 weeks before the event. So that gives me two Sundays, right? So my last hard run and then two Sundays and then the race. And that's typically somewhere near my peak mileage week. So that'll be in the mid-50s for me. And the next 2 weeks I'll run 12 to 13 miles on those subsequent two Sundays. And then 2 weeks before, I'll start dropping my mileage during the week, too, to like 60% of my peak weekly mileage. And the week before, more like 40% of my peak weekly mileage. So you're really not running much. I may drop some race-specific tuning workouts in, like a short set of hill charges or something like that. But, you know, you're just basically running less. And the final week, I'll run like Monday, Wednesday, and on Friday, just a couple of miles. And then Saturday, I'll take the dog for a long walk, and then Sunday, I race. You know, it's probably more important, you know, and I try to get a lot of sleep the week before, try to eat lighter, simpler foods. If you do it right, you'll feel like a coiled spring at the starting line. Now, if you have any questions, you can shoot me an email or a tweet, and I'll try to help. That's cyktrussell@yahoo.com and cyktrussell on Twitter. All right, good luck.
Love Mexican radio. I remember working down in Chihuahua. Ciudad Chihuahua. Radio Rama! El Lobo!
Mexican NoHo Radio. Okay, folks, that's it. Another episode of the Run, Run, Live podcast in the can. I've been busy, but I have some more great interviews coming up. Go out and Google the Goon Squad Runners if you want to see who these crazy people are. Also, everyone within the sound of my voice, go to the grottonroadrace.com and register for the race. It's a cheap race. It's a closed course, beautiful country course. Swag is good, so sign up. And even if you don't run, let me know and I'll send you the awesome cow shirt. I've got a guy from an indoor marathon I'm going to talk to. I've got another person from a stroller, you know, a baby stroller, jog stroller company. I've got one of our friends who wants to talk about nutrition. Everybody has an opinion about nutrition. And also, at some point, I'm going to hook up with Dave McGilvery, the race director for Boston, and bring him back on before the race if I can, see what's new. So thank you so much for all the notes of sympathy about my calf. It's very touching. And I'll let you know how it progresses. I'll also let you know my official goon name if they decide to give me one. And I will, even if I'm limping piteously, see you out there. The song I got for you tonight is an instrumental, and it's called The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Closest I can get to goons. And it is by a group called the Happy Happy Jihadists. It's short, too, as opposed to these blues songs that run like 20 minutes long. It's just 2:40. So, enjoy. We'll see ya.
Imagine yourself on a dream vacation. Your vacation is about to end. Something is coming. We'll be right back.
to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.